Good to be back home. Good to see you all. And some new faces, that's even better. Our series this week is about Jesus. Hopefully we can say a few things. None of it will be new, but just to remind you about our Lord. And this morning we want to talk to you about the 23rd Psalm. It has been called the Nightingale Psalm because, the writer said, because of its sweet tones in darkest hours. A lot of people are able to quote it. I've been in denominational services where the pastor or the priest will quote it all, and everybody will quote it out loud. But quoting it and being able to live it are two different things. And to know, as we want to impress upon you, the first line of the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." David was a shepherd himself, as you well know. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel came to anoint the new king, the next king over King Saul, where was David? He was out taking care of his father's sheep. Then in the next chapter, Eliab, his brother, when David came to where the Philistines were fighting the Israelites, or they were about to engage in the fight, and where Goliath for 6 weeks had been coming out morning and evening and challenging the Israelites for their champion to come and fight him, and no one had. David showed some interest in the fight, and Eliab, David's oldest brother, made fun of him and said, "Go back home and take care of those few sheep," in 17 and verse 34, trying to embarrass him like he wasn't old enough to be a soldier in battle or to do anything about Goliath. Well, everything a sheep thinks he needs isn't what he needs, is it? And we are compared in this psalm to sheep. And if you've ever had anything to do with sheep, you know sheep are not very smart. They will wander off by themselves, and all they have to do is get over the hill from the flock, and they're lost. They can't find their way back. Thus, in Luke chapter 15, the one leaves the 99 and is lost, and the shepherd goes after him. That's what the good shepherd will do. Many times the good shepherd has to carry the sheep back to the flock. They will go places they shouldn't go. They will do things they shouldn't do unless the shepherd is there, the good shepherd is there. In literally talking about sheep, the sheep can eat things that are bad for them. They can go places that they could be lost or injured or killed. But the shepherd sees that he is healthy, and that he is secure, and this psalm lets us know that. Just like godly parents care for their children, and godly elders care for the flock, as Paul told the Ephesian elders of Acts 20 and verse 28, to oversee the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers. They are shepherds. David wrote this while fleeing from King Saul. David should have been King Saul's greatest asset. Should have been, but Saul was jealous. When they began to sing the number one song in the nation, "Saul has killed his thousands and David his ten thousands." That was the top song of the day. And Saul couldn't stand it. And as David wrote this, I'm wondering, you know, what he was thinking. And Janet and I were talking this morning about where he was when he wrote it. Was he in a cave? Was he on a hillside under a tree or sitting on a rock or where when he wrote these beautiful words of Psalm 23? Just think about that phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." You could emphasize every word of it, beginning with, "The Lord, there's no more than him is my shepherd. Secondly, the Lord is my shepherd, nobody else. Then thirdly, the Lord is, not was, or hope to be, but he is my shepherd. And this is what we all ought to be able to say. The Lord is my shepherd. And then last of all, the Lord is my shepherd. He is the one that guides me, leads me, protects me, as this psalm indicates. And when you say that phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, then you can say along with him in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If the Lord is not your shepherd, then you cannot say that. Your medicine cabinet may be filled with drugs to calm you down because the Lord is not your shepherd. A lot of people are turning to drugs to calm themselves down, or to alcohol, or to some other drug to somehow calm them down because they do not have a shepherd. They know that they're going to die, and they need something to help them to forget all of that. Saying the Lord is my shepherd, I was trying to make an illustration for young people. Over in Indiana, it's Larry Bird, the basketball player. Here I seem to recall a fellow, the Hick from Cabin Creek, yeah, Jerry West, and I imagine he's in his 70s now. But if he were to walk in and we were going to be playing ball and Jerry West comes and I get him, whose team's going to win? Even now, you know, well, with Jerry, you're just not going to lose. Well, I think about saying that when the Lord is on my team. Can you lose? You know, you and he make a majority, don't you? Don't care what is thrown against you. And if he's not on your side, I don't care who you have on your team, you're going to lose. Our nation's talking about, oh, we've got Star Wars weapons. We've got the greatest army in the world. I want to tell you what, that great army can be defeated. Every nation who's thought they could not be defeated, where are they now? Where's Babylon? Where's Rome? Where are all these people? We read about in history that they were defeated. We will be victorious if the Lord is our shepherd. We need the good shepherd, and Jesus says that he is the good shepherd in John chapter 10 and verse 11. And he is willing to lay down his life for his sheep there in verse 11. And he did because, as Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Now, just as a little trivia here, note that the Bible says we are gone astray, not born astray. Our Baptist friends, they believe this sincerely, but they are wrong. They believe they are born with Adam's sin, but the Bible tells us that all have sinned, Romans 3 and verse 23, and 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. I was not born with anybody's sin on me, my parents or Adam's. I have gone astray. It's when I sin, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 as well. And on we could go with that. Peter in 1 Peter 1 and verse 25. For we were as sheep going astray. And we're not too smart when we're not heading in the right direction, are we? When we're not following the shepherd and bishop of our souls. In verse 24, Peter says of chapter 1, he bore our sins on the tree, not Adam's sin. And he is the great shepherd, the Hebrew writer tells us in 13 and verse 20. Jesus had compassion on the people in Matthew 9 and verse 36 when he saw that they were scattered with no shepherd. And that's what happens to us when we have no shepherd. Look at our nation. Look at the world today. Are we scattered sheep? Yes, we are. Looking for joy, looking for peace in all the wrong places. when if we would just look to Him, if the Lord were our shepherd, what kind of nation would we have? We sing the song, in the hour of trial, Jesus plead for me, lest by base denial I depart from thee. We need the Lord on our side. And I picture here in Psalm 23, David writing as he maybe begins the day, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Other versions say, I shall not lack. And that's all we need. If that's all that psalm said, if it just had one verse to it, and that's all that it said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Would you like to be in that position? You can be. Imagine giving your children the blessings of life and they turn away from it. Hey, if you'll only do what I say, if you'll only obey me, if you'll take what I'm giving you, you're going to be happy. But they choose to go another route and they are unhappy. How would that make you feel? But what confidence we can have when we say, I shall not want. In Matthew 6 and 33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you ever wonder what those things were? I've heard preachers, and so have you, quote that verse in its context. What things will be added unto you? Just read the chapter. Three times Jesus said, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Well, that's easy for you to say. Yeah, it is when the Lord is our shepherd. What can bother? You know, this Superman thing is out big now. And they called him a mild-mannered reporter. I said, well, what could bother somebody with that power? You know, why would you get upset? Well, with God on our side, can we not be mild-mannered? Yes, we can. Judy's dad used to say, if I had a worry, I wouldn't worry about it. Didn't Peter say, casting all your care upon him? Why? For he careth for who? For you. Who, me? Yes. It's when I don't cast all my care. I'm thinking, I'm going to do it my way. Well, how's that working out for you? I think Dr. Phil says. How's that working out for you? And God is saying, oh, if you would listen to me. What does wisdom say in Proverbs 1? I was everywhere you were. I was grabbing you by the lapels and shaking you in essence. Don't go there. Don't do this. But you said, don't want you. But when your fear and desolation comes, you're going to cry for me and you're going to cry for me early and I'm not going to be there. The Lord lets us suffer consequences. Do we need to? So do our children need to suffer consequences when they make mistakes. And that doesn't mean give them a bullet and a gun and say, go play. Or here's a match and a gallon of gas. See what happens. But they do need to suffer consequences. And David did, didn't he? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David said, I have been young and now am old. And yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Why? The Lord is their shepherd. We sing the song, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. No, he won't. He can't do that. And we're showing it by depending upon ourselves. Jesus even said, lo, I am with you always. But that's a conditional with you. Only if I do as he says. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Luke 6:46. In verse 2, he said, he leads me into green pastures. What if you were a sheep, what would that say to you? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Well, you have to leave the fold, don't you? And you have to go out. We have to go out into the world. We can't build a commune and stay within the walls of that. We have to go out into the world. We have to work. We have to go to school. We have to associate with others of the world. Are there dangers lying there? Shake your head this way. Yes, everywhere. On signs, poster boards on the streets, magazines in the stores, everywhere you look, the devil is trying to give you a detour with your mind, take you away from his will. But to lead us, to make us lie down in green pastures. For a sheep, that means his belly is full and he's satisfied. Again, Judy's dad used to, we'd be driving by a field of cattle or sheep or something, and he'd say, "You know why those sheep are lying down there?" And I said, "No." He said, "Because they're tired." And they're satisfied. Okay? They've been in the green pastures, and therefore they can lie down in them. They can be comforted. A lush green pasture to a sheep is like a golden corral to me. See? Not only does he make us lie down in green pastures, he leads us beside the still waters. And that word still is there for a reason. Not just waters, because sheep will not drink out of turbulent water. He lets them go to the little stream, and you can picture that. And you've probably done that yourself. You've been hunting or out in the woods sometime, and there's a little stream. Well, back in my day, we used to, before all the pollutants and stuff, just get out on your hands and knees and drink that good, cool water. Who provided that for us? And by the way, are we thankful for that? Do we thank God for the security for the comforts that he gives us? When we wake up in the morning, are we thankful to God? Can I not on the side of my bed, even my feet are on the floor as I'm getting up, say, "Thank you, Lord, for this good night's rest." That I'm not dodging bullets and bombs. I'm not worried about somebody coming to my door. Or even today here. Is there somebody taking names and addresses? Say, "The Lord is our shepherd." Man, is there comfort and peace in those statements and beside the still waters? Certainly there is. James says, "Is any merry, let him sing psalms." You ever do that? Rather than a song maybe that you shouldn't be singing. You ever sing psalms? My mother, as she did the dishes, a lot of times she'd start one song and end with another. We never didn't know how she'd get to that other song. She made them fit. But that's what she was doing. She was merry. She was singing songs even while she was doing dishes or ironing. Hear her down the basement. And she could have said, "Oh, I don't have a pretty voice." But to me, yes, it was. No, she's not going to sell a million records. But where was her mind? Where were her thoughts? On those beautiful old hymns that she'd been brought up with. "Leadeth me beside the still waters," in contrast to the turbulent state of mind. Can I be happy when the world is going crazy? Yes, I can. Somebody said, "Well, you don't understand the situation." No, it is they that do not understand. How we can remain calm even when Khrushchev was threatening. You know, he said, "We won't fire a shot. You'll destroy yourself." And that's what we're doing, isn't it? Our nation is rotting from the core, from the inside out. When we don't walk with the wicked, as Solomon said in Proverbs 1 and verse 15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." And what I've learned, if my feet don't go somewhere, then Mo doesn't go. All right? And because of God, he's kept me out of a lot of trouble, places that I would have gone if he were not there. It's like a bridge out sign. I'm not going over that highway. God has said, no, beware. Oh, I can take my chances and say, well, just this once. But who's going to lose? Who's going to lose? And I've seen the consequences of those who've passed the detour signs or the warning signs. In verse 3, he says, he restores my soul. Am I going to fall? Again, absolutely. I heard Ernest Angley say a long, long time ago, he hadn't sinned in, I think it was 23 years back then. Well, he just lied, didn't he? Yeah, he did. He restores my soul. The rich man in Luke 12 and verse 19 talked to his soul and he said, oh, you've got many years, much goods laid up for many years. Did he? No, he didn't have another night, did he? Fool, this night thy soul shall be required. Ever talk to your soul? And if you did and it responded, what would it say? Would it say, I'm starving? You need to be restored. And this restoration means move it back to the place of departure, where you came from. You're not where you ought to be. You need to get back there. Well, what is our food? What is our food that helps us restore? If I don't know God's word, then I'm not going to know what direction I need to go to get back. I'm going to have to know that. And sometimes it takes the brethren to help me, to lead me. That's what we're here for. We as little sheep, we need each other, don't we? And we can communicate with each other. If we see another one stumbling and tripping and falling, again, the Hebrew writer in chapter 12, the feeble knees, those that are falling, those that are weak, we need to go and help them. About verse 12, I believe that it is. Help restore them. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's when I quit eating his food that I get myself in trouble. When I quit reading, when I'm more interested in what's on the computer or in the newspaper or the television or some other book than his book, then I'm not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I will be at Bible study. Yes, I'll be here at 9:30 and nobody will have to coax me or curry me or beg me to come. I will want to be here. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Oh boy, we gotta go again. All week. Is that the way somebody who's hungering and thirsting after righteousness sounds? We found our way to the pitch end last night. I get hungry, yes. I can find my way to food. You all know that. But what kind of food am I eating spiritually? Do I ever crack this book? Do I ever? Am I ever warning myself against the pitfalls? I will be at Bible study. I will be at every service that I possibly physically can be here. You can tell when somebody hasn't eaten, can't you, physically? And you can tell when they haven't eaten spiritually as well. You don't have to beg people to come to the table of the Lord. You will choose the right path, as David said in Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Nearly the same thing in verse 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. All the time. David's shepherd always led him into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Green pastures and still waters for David. It's when David wandered. Remember when he wandered? Do you think David wished he could go back and undo what he did with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel 11? Oh, if I could do it over again, but you cannot undo what is done. One young lady said, I'm so glad that I have a God that can undo things that I've done. Well, he doesn't relieve you from the consequences. That's why David said in Psalm 51 and verse 3, my sin is ever before me. And maybe, just maybe, you can associate with David and you can say, yes, it is. What I did, I should not have done. I knew better, but I chose the pleasures of sin for a season rather than following the Lord. How would you like to have traded places with David when Nathan came to him as he sat on his throne and gave him the little story of the poor little farmer with one little sheep and the rich farmer who took that little lamb that he had, that he treated as one of his own children, let him eat from his own table, but the rich man took his little sheep and killed it for his visitor. David said, that man's going to pay for this. Remember what Nathan's response was? Yes, you do, don't you? You may have it underlined. You're the man. You're the one that killed it. You took from the poor. You killed Uriah. You want to trade places with David? Like David, our detours kill us too, don't they? Yes, they do. We sing the song that says, bring Christ your broken life so marred with sin. But the devil says it won't do you any good. You're not going to change. Why bother? You're going to get right back into the same old paths. Did you know God's word will help us deal not only spiritual problems, but physical problems? Physical ailments, and who in here doesn't have them? Could you not have thrown in the towel long ago? Because of physical ailments and problems and difficulties? Sure. But the Lord was your shepherd. You are still here. Because you recognize there is an eternity to face. You have not forgotten that. He has given us examples of many who have endured. Even of our Lord who endured under great persecution and trial. Do you want the same consequences of David and be saying, my sin is ever before me? Yes, thankfully we can be forgiven. Even though we stray away, our shepherd will search us out. Moses said in Numbers 32, 23, you be sure your sin will find you out. There's a lot of people in prisons today who thought, well, I won't be caught. I won't be found out. But they were. A lot of people whose lives have been marred by sin because nobody's going to find out. But the devil makes sure. If we could warn young people, don't do things you know that are wrong. Don't challenge God because you will lose. You will lose. The good shepherd seeks a path of safety to the pasture. For his name's sake, he wants to keep his good name, and we must wear his name in a way to honor his good name. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your beautiful works, which they shall behold. Let's let men see our beautiful works, not receive the consequences of sin. Verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. As I look at some of these young faces that have no lines on them and all of your teeth and all of your hair, and I may say no worries, but I know better than that. You have your concerns as well. But one day, and who knows when, I don't care if you're 16 or 60 or above. We're going to die. You ever think about that? Your heart, my heart, everyone's heart in here is going to stop. It is going to stop. And then there is an eternity. You ever thought about the length of eternity? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I've been in hospital rooms with people begging to live another moment, because they know they were not ready for the eternity that was to follow. Boy, is that sad. They lived all of their lives in sin and the pleasures of it. And now, at the end, they want God to forgive them when it is too late. They want to straighten up their lives. And many say, well, I'm going to have my pleasures of sin, and when just before I die, then I will straighten up. But they die before that. We must let people see our beautiful works. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is pain. Is that what he said? No, to live for Christ is to gain. And Jesus tells us what the gain is in Matthew 5 and verse 12 when he said, great is your reward which is in heaven. Underline that word, great. I have no idea how great it's going to be. I want to imagine we have our moments in life, our days in life where we are happy, but does it last? We may hear a knee-slapping joke, but the devil will make sure that we're going to have trials and tribulations in our lives. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that means I'm depending upon my shepherd. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 27, they hear my voice. They follow me. I got lost from my mom in a grocery store, scared to death. A lot of people around, yes, but I was lost. And that's not a good feeling. Went hunting once, got lost in the woods. They found me by accident, and I never did tell them. How scared I was, because I'd heard the stories. Don't want to be without our shepherd, do you? Because I'm going to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. We think of Old Testament characters, Daniel and Job and Abraham and Ruth and Esther, and on we could go. Did they have their struggles and trials? Yes, they did. To say, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod to beat off any foe, the staff to maybe to retrieve me if I have fallen. David even came against Goliath with one, and that's what Goliath said. You come to me with a stick? Am I a dog? But David came to him with the powerful God. He wasn't going to just depend on himself, was he? He told Saul, what right does this uncircumcised Philistine have to defy the armies of the living God? He didn't have any right. And because the Lord was David's shepherd, I will fear no evil. He says in verse 5, thou preparest before me a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. We can prepare a table with our friends, but the Lord with our enemies. With enemies surrounding us, he says, God is still there. He's still taking care of me. He still loves me. And it shows power and confidence and no lack of courage. Thou preparest. Then he says, thou anointest. It is God that does it. To anoint the head with oil is a sign of friendship. Then he says, my cup runneth over. If you have a computer, you can Google that little poem or the recitation that Jimmy Dean did. I'm drinking from my saucer cause my cup overflows. The blessings that we receive from God are innumerable. God says in Malachi 3 and verse 10, test me, try me. You give and you see. If I don't return, I'll open the windows of heaven And there's where we're missing. God's got the windows ready to pull up and let the blessings pour out. And here we sit doing it our way. How's that working for you? Didn't Job say something similar? Though he slay me, still will I trust him. Yes, he did. Job 13 and verse 15. And Jesus said it in the negative way, for what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Indeed, what have I profited if I get richer than Donald Trump? Oh, I've got it made. Oh, by the way, how long is that going to last? Have all the million and billionaires died? The Aristotle Onassis, the Rockefellers, the Kennedys, and all of those? You know what? They died some sooner than they thought, didn't they? Robert and JFK? Yes, they did, but they were going to die anyway. Saw a picture of them both, and when Robert died after JFK had died, they said, together again, like they were in heaven. Well, I'm sorry to tell you. Let's drink from our saucer because our cup is overflowing. And verse 6, as we come to the conclusion, surely, not in an uncertain sense, but certainly, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because the only other place is in the house of the devil, and you don't want to go there. I think I've suggested to you before that. You ever think about hell being solitary confinement? Where do they put prisoners when they want to really punish them? Oh, no, not solitary confinement. You know, the rich man in Luke 16 didn't say, we are tormented in this. He said, I am tormented in this flame, as though he were there by himself. A friend of mine said, I want to go where all my friends are. Are they going to be waiting for you? Well, the rich man said, don't let my five brothers come. They don't want you there. Your mother, your daddy, your aunt, your uncle, your brother, your sister, whoever it is, they don't want you to come there because they already know how bad it is. Again, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, John 10, 27 and 28. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I can pluck myself out of God's hand, but you can't take me out. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. He's ready to shove off. Are we? Are we? If the Lord is our shepherd, we can do it now. Jesus, our good shepherd, paid it all. Don't let his death for you be in vain. Memorize the 23rd Psalm, you can do it. It may take you a little while. And memorization is work, isn't it, kids? You have to be determined to sit down. And you may have verse 1 down. Okay, there's only 5 more to go. You're on your way. You may have the last one. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, good, I got it. But now, live it. And the blessings in between there, the green pastures, the still waters, the protection and the comfort is all yours. All yours. Okay? That'll do. Thank you for listening so well.